everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Ride or Dies or Wrap Up podcast for the finale. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Al Escher. Ali, how are you?
I have the memory of a goldfish when it comes to the challenge. But I have to say, like, I am feeling the most fired up post-final that I have felt in a very long time.
Yeah, I thought this was good. I love their little montage. I always get emotional for the end of the season montages for the winners. I didn't cry, but it was like emotional. It was nice to see. But I thought it was great. I thought this hour and a half was great. Really did.
You know, I don't know how much of it was that, you know, for anyone who's following Rahapgrams on Instagram, Brian and I did a 30-minute like takeover before I did a live before this episode. We watched it live. Like, it somehow felt like more of an event than I usually let this feel. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was part of it. But I genuinely was like riveted pretty much the entire time. And a huge credit, I think, for that is that it was competitive until the end. And not in a way, this episode to me, that felt unfair.
No, I think if you take the first two parts of this final and you splice it together and shrink it down to like a normal one day thing, and like this is like the back half of a final, I thought this was a very cool way to end it with like redoing eliminations. I almost wish what I wish they would have just done instead of this 100-hour gimmick is make like this part longer. I mean, obviously the way it went down with how Bananas and 90 script the puzzle, it was inevitable that Tori never going to win. But I wish there were more stations. This should have been like an 8, 9, 10 part thing and just going through all the past eliminations and throwing some dailies and stuff in there too, of like a retrospective of the season. I thought that would have been a super cool way to end the final rather than this makeshift 100-hour thing that literally had a 24-hour break right at the end of it.
Yeah, let's actually go if you don't mind, beat by beat, because this is actually the only part of the final that I'm actually interested in going through each stage, because I agree, and I think that was generally the consensus on Twitter, is that this episode is the only part that even remotely kind of felt like the final of all of the parts at the tail end. But we start with basically a daily with these chalk bombs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this final is a season. Like, we've been joking about, like, well, technically the final could start at the first day. Yeah. This final was just a mini season. We say there is a mini final during the season. Yeah. This is a mini season.
It is. This is like, yeah, the little mini games you play on Mario Party, like a shrink down version of the challenge season. Boom. They hit you in 30 hours. But you were right. The way you were describing this final, how you could describe a season was, you know, this is technically a 18 episode final. That you were right, because this is what they did here. I think they did this almost exact challenge at some point during the season, or some variation where you're throwing things in the targets. I think they threw themselves at the targets. Here they're throwing like the chalk bombs, but they basically did this during the season.
Yeah, and we've also seen versions of this in other seasons as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested in some of the things that we like predicted would happen, where we kind of thought, okay, is the deal between is Devin and Tori honoring the Bananas Nani anti-sabotage deal going to matter, going to not matter? Kind of seems like they tried to shoehorning it to matter when it really didn't, where, okay, Nani and Bananas, for having finished first eating, they're going to get to set the order of this challenge and get 5 additional bombs over second place and 10 additional bombs over third place. They obviously make the only correct decision and have Devin and Tori go first. Devin and Tori don't really seem to care. Devin throws a little bit of a shot at him later, but I don't think this really paid off the way it would have if Olivia and Horacio were still in the game.
Yeah, I agree. And I was surprised there wasn't more of a reaction from Devin. Because like you said, we had that whole scene of Devin being like, well, they come at us, we definitely won't forget. And then they sort of came at them as much as they possibly could in this situation, and they kind of glossed over it. I was surprised that there wasn't that confessional of Devin being upset that Bananas and Nani didn't honor their deal of making them and having them go first.
It's almost one of the frustrating things about Devin, but the thing you have to appreciate is that, like, even though it was the only logical, rational decision, and the deal was made under different circumstances when there was another team semi-worth sabotaging in the game. Like, Devin would still be keeping track of it, but only to cover his own ass later. So, like, later, when they get the opportunity to slightly sabotage Benat as an honor, they're like, we'll pay you back the favor. And it's like, we could let go of this. Like, right. We're all rational here, and you're not really having a choice. So had he made a bigger stink, I would have been here, like, really complaining about it, because it's just ridiculous. I think it's even beneath Devin to, like, think that that deal should have been honored.
Yeah, I did like, so the 69 hours worth of activities led to a difference of, like, the 5 bombs in the target is how this all played out, with Anissa and Jordan only getting 15, Devin and Tori getting 20, and Bananas and Nani getting 25.
See, that's interesting. I actually thought this was a worthwhile advantage, and definitely more of an advantage than Devin and Tori got. And maybe I only feel that way because Nani and Bananas didn't really deserve that much of an advantage, because they only beat Devin and Tori by one checkpoint.
But yeah, look, yeah, I was going to say, this was, I feel like this was a good advantage. I just don't like that it was 69 hours worth buildup. Again, oh, like, this was like the first 3 hours leading to this. Like, yeah, that's perfect. This is a good way to, like, they earned it, they get a bonus, but it's not too divisive. So it would have been fine. It's just the fact that it was, you know, 3 days worth of activities leading to an extra 5 to 10 chalk balls you're gonna throw something. It wasn't a little bit of a letdown there.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, yeah, I think that's why this leg didn't feel like, this leg in terms of the entire episode didn't feel as, like, frustrating, because ultimately where they end up at the elimination, like, getting exempt from the elimination is worth, I think they're at 74 hours when they go into the zone or in the maze, but, like, yes, if we take it, like, stage by stage, which makes sense, it is a much ado about nothing.
For sure. Yeah. Did you have a sense of where they had to audible, or where they might have cut another team along the way if Olivia and Horacio weren't forced to leave?
It's interesting because I don't feel like the fork in the road later in the corn maze paid off in any way besides it looking cool. Like, that to me felt like something was disjointed. Like, I almost didn't think that they wanted to have 3 teams going into that elimination, because it would have felt more satisfying, I think, if the bottom 2 teams were in an elimination and 2 teams were safe, given how neck and neck everything was. But then when we got to, like, the very one-on-one final stage, I was like, oh, maybe that wasn't how it was intended. But I didn't think the, like, corn maze made a lot of sense for just 3 people the way it ran. Or maybe that was how it was designed and it just, like, didn't pay off.
Yeah, I had the same thought, because it was so bizarre that Jordan and Anissa were on their own on, like, the other side. It felt like they were supposed to be that other team. But then there's no way they... I don't think they would have had, like, that final set all set up for 3 teams. It didn't seem like there was... It seemed like that was meant for, like, 2 teams to battle it out to win. So maybe there was supposed to be, like, another elimination in the cornfield. I don't know. But it was weird that just Jordan and Nisa were, like, on the other side. Not to, like, fully jump ahead, but, like, that was weird. But, yeah, I didn't know if there was maybe an earlier point where they wanted to cut someone. But I was trying to pick up on that the whole time. I was like, where was a team supposed to be cut along the way? But maybe they weren't going to cut anyone until the end.
I mean, maybe, yeah, like, maybe it is just, like, the last to TJ just goes home and then the next 2 get to fight for it. Yeah. Or maybe there was more intended to be done with the 3 episodes budgeted. And so, like, the middle episode, we end up just getting the MTV.com edit. Like, maybe there was going to be an elimination there that would have made more sense, like, a la the Nani and Casey elimination. I think that came earlier than the last.
Yeah, I think so.
In the final. So, maybe it was there and, like, we didn't scrutinize those, like, checkpoints enough of, like, what could have, where an elimination could have been slotted in. Maybe it was totally scrapped and, like, the times where we had 20 hours of downtime were intended to be filled by an elimination.
Right.
I do think we could know about that. Like, in all of the various press that's going to come after, I don't think it's insane that we'll hear someone explain, like, what would have happened.
Right, especially because they definitely didn't have, like, flights booked for them to leave an early day earlier because they were all just there. So who knows what the plan was. But, yeah, back to the daily. So Tori and Devin went first, which amazingly, we've been preaching this. Definitely I have, and I think we both have, wanting them to bring like picking the order for the whole mm-hmm. season. They never do it. And then here randomly, they're like, all right, Benazza, how do you can pick the order people go in, which is great. I just wish they do that more often. But Devin and Tori go first and they kill it. They get 10. So far that way, the winner of this one wasn't necessarily even close. So the Devin and Tori, I think both contributed. I think they both hit a number of them. So they both did great.
Yeah. What did you think of having like a straight up challenge in the middle of the final?
You got to fill 100 hours somehow. So I'm sure they had to like find something else to do rather than just having them run really far and puke at the end of it. So I don't mind them doing this, honestly.
It was like, I didn't mind the challenge and I liked sort of the advantage and I liked the advantage they got for winning and all felt as it should. I just was like, this is the final. Like, it just felt so bizarre to be watching a segment like this during while we're, you know, like you said, 69 wink hours into the final. And they also kind of, it was like a misdirect from like where they left us last episode of like the choppa, like seemed like they were all going to like run. And that was like a next leg. It didn't make it seem like it was going to be one sort of low flying helicopter taking them through a daily. I do have a question though. And maybe this is nitpicking because it's not a daily, but like, what did you think about the ability for the players to sort of divide the bombs between the partners as they saw fit as they went?
My feeling was that was kind of like a spur of the moment. I don't know if that was even intended by MTV. I don't think that's what they thought they were going to do. I think they just thought each person would throw, you know, they would get another one, throw. I feel like they didn't even put that in the rule. I don't think they thought they would do that. So I'll give them credit if they thought for themselves, like, okay, maybe one person is better than this, we'll just do it. But it didn't seem like anyone, what they did, like Bananas certainly wasn't better than Nani. If anything, Nani should have been taking more. And who knows if Anissa would have been better than Jordan. She barely even tried. So I don't mind them doing it. I just don't even think that was what MTV thought would have happened.
See, you have a little faith. Like, these people have been on the block, like these producers of the challenge, despite what the cast of the CBS challenge wants to say about production of the challenge. I think also when you're giving teams of two an odd number of bombs, like 25 and 15, you sort of have to consider that it's not going to matter who drops what, as opposed to like the slingshots where they were like, each person has to hit one.
Right.
And so with Olivia out of the game. I would have, again, and I'm overthinking it, but we've had 100 hours to think about this. Like, I almost wish there was more of a consequence to like Jordan taking over and dropping all their bombs. Like, okay, there's still a limited amount of time that the helicopter is going to go back and forth. I kind of thought that was going to happen to Jordan. It's like,
right,
he doesn't get to drop all of them because he doesn't let Anissa drop them and he runs out of time and he doesn't realize, but it didn't really matter.
No, I mean, I guess the tiebreaker would have been time, right? Not that they always say what this or the tiebreaker is. Sometimes they don't include a tiebreaker, but I would imagine if they did finish tied, whoever did it the quickest would have won.
It also, that's true. It's also funny with the edit, like, and again, like, I can't defend Jordan and I don't want to defend Jordan, but it's almost unfair that Anissa's commentary on it is like, Jordan, there's Jordan with his ego and like a happy Jordan is a good Jordan. So like, I'll let him drop the bombs when he was objectively better than Anissa dropping the bombs. And Bananas gets this nice guy edit of like, I told Nani, if at any time you feel like you're not doing so well, you can give me your bombs. Mm-hmm. And then he sucks at it.
Right. Yeah. But like for Anissa, she didn't really, like, she threw twice, right? Like, who, like, I feel like this is the type of thing that you're not going to do well. No one really did well on their first couple because you have to gauge like the helicopter speed and what, when to throw it. It's like a timing thing. So I'm sure she could have been decent at it if she like kept going. I feel like she would, I don't even think Jordan would have been like so mad at her if she just tried it herself. I feel like that was like Anissa, like it was, she was like copping out there like, oh, I'm just going to let Jordan do it. And then also I could just blame Jordan if he stinks at it. So I don't have to worry about being blamed if I stink at it.
I mean, I texted you about this and I'm going to have to withhold my like intense feelings about Anissa in this final, but like, yeah, she's not making a friend out of me and it starts here.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely text you. I think the floodgates open because we had already been talking about.
The peek behind the curtain was when you texted me that. I was like 7 minutes behind. I would like pause for a little bit. I had to like catch up. And when I saw you're like, I feel sick thing, I'm like, oh my God, if something happened to like Tori and Devin or Donnie. And when I saw it was just about like Anissa, I was like, okay, great.
It wasn't even about Anissa. It was just the fact that, so I actually knew. So I, when I was live, or I wasn't even live, I was a few minutes behind too. Like I texted Brian when Anissa and Jordan went to the elimination against Nani and Bananas. Because, I mean, are we here? Can we just jump? I guess we can't jump to it yet. But
we're almost there.
I was very concerned that Bananas and Nani were going to lose to a team that was never going to have a chance at beating Devin and Tori. And that not only were Bananas and Nani getting knocked out, who I'd started rooting for last week, but they were going to lose to a team that was now going to ruin the final because there was just no chance of it being competitive. But then I saw what the final was, and I actually think Jordan and Anissa would have been very competitive in it. But just right. So I was just like, I feel sick that Jordan and Anissa are going to knock Banani out here. So I only texted you at like the idea of the zone.
Got it.
I was not texting you about Anissa's crushing fall. And I did. I just want to say for the record that I did text you knowing that you could be behind. Like I was not going to.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't a specific text. It was okay. So Devin and Tori win, and then
TJ, the whole thing.
Well, they win this. They win the daily, so they get to put two people up for elimination. Though they get to set the order for when they each run. And the way TJ on this, maybe I'm like an idiot and I'm the only person who read it this way. But when TJ said, like, you could pick the order for when you're released to start, in my head, I thought this was not even like, oh, they go first, they get a head start. I thought this was going to be more of like they wanted to separate them out for running so they don't like cross their paths. Like, I feel like they've done that sometimes where it's like you're going over a narrow pathway. They don't want them to go about it. I didn't think it was like a timing thing. Like, I didn't realize that obviously you choose to go first. But I was like, oh, maybe they should choose to go last so they could see how the other teams do on a path. Like, I didn't think this was like you get the head start in like a race. I thought this was like a staggered start.
I'll say this. I also think he phrased it weirdly. Like, it should have been like you get a head start and you get to pick who goes second and third.
Right.
Like, it was a weird way to phrase it where he says you get to pick the order you're released. I didn't quite think that far into it. I was just like, is it going to be something where there's a reason you'd want to go last? And then I was like, oh no, it's just a head start.
Yeah. So yeah, I completely misread it. If that was me, I would have been like, they would have been calling me a bonehead because I was going to pick myself to go last. And like, why, Brian, what an idiot. What a bonehead move. He picks himself to go last. I thought it was like a staggered thing. And I wanted to have like all the information ahead of me to see where the other team screwed up or whatever. But yeah, no. So they get to just pick the order before the hedge maze. And it was like, we've seen races that are like, I swear, like a marathon, and people get like a 10-second head start. This seemed like a pretty short race, and the gap was 5 minutes staggered starts. That's an insane advantage for this race.
I agree. Like, this is where I got confused. Like, visually, it was incredible, so it's like almost they get a pass. This is where I started to feel like we were talking about before. Like, they were so committed to, like, the visual part of it that somehow having four teams to three like effed it up and they had to just keep going with it, or it just didn't make sense. But like, I agree, I found this next leg very confusing. I didn't understand the voiceover being like they'll have a fork in the road. I didn't understand TJ's Phil Kagan whatever amazing race moment of like, this is a fork in the road. Like, it was very amazing race style. You're the first team to arrive. Like, none of it mattered. And to your point about the time, like, there really didn't seem to be a way that any team could, like, surmount the lead. I know Bananas and Nani end up passing Jordan and making up the 5 minutes. But especially once they get to camp and then they do the next sort of staggered release, like, no one can overcome the positions they're in, which it's cool to watch, but it really didn't matter. They might as well have just started at the zone.
Yeah. It just felt so weird. Like, the advantages were so disproportionate to the things that were won. Like, you win like hours and hours of like an event and you get like a better sleeping tent. And then here you throw a target at someone and you get like a guaranteed spot of avoiding elimination. It was just very disproportionate for how they were giving out like the advantages for when you want heats in the in different stages.
Totally agree, but I think it they lucked out that like Tori and Dave, the Daves did deserve to be exempt from that elimination. And so the fact that like it's sort of like results oriented, but the dominant team got exempt and that was deserved. And then they're deserved to start at 11 level playing field after Nani and Bananas had to scrap for their lives. And so like all's right in the world, all's right that ends well, whatever, all's well that ends well, but totally right. They got very lucky that that's what happened.
Yeah, no, very lucky. But yeah, it all played out exactly how it should have based off how everyone kind of performed along the way.
I've been dogging this, like, you know, Robert Frost of Road Diverged in the Wood or whatever. Like, do you agree or did this make more sense to you? Like, was there any real advantage to going right or left?
I mean, it seemed like whatever decisions Devin and Tori made were the right ones because they were at like this checkpoint or the fork pretty similarly to Bananas and Nani. It seemed like it, or like they weren't too far behind. And then their whatever decisions in the maze were right. But I don't know how much of that I can even attribute. It seemed like that was more luck a little bit. Like, I don't know how you can gauge a maze in Pitch Black with like any sense of skill. But when Bananas and I showed up, Bananas said like, oh, we made like a wrong turn and like looped around. And I don't know if that was because, you know, give Tori and Devin props for like following signs and directions better than them, or if that was just luck that they, you know, chose the Yoshi Valley path by luck that was quickest.
I'm like, was the intention that there'd be two zones, like four teams enter, two teams leave and end up getting rushed in the maze? Like, again, someone's got to explain what this was supposed to be, because I feel like now I'm being low on the season because I'm being, or the final because I'm being critical of it. Like, I enjoyed watching this because at the edge of my seat, I was like, what's going to happen? When you reflect on it, it's like, well, nothing happened what was supposed to happen. But watching it, I found it exciting.
Yeah, look, the vibes were great. I love, like, the light-up gear that they were wearing. I love, like, the darkness. The corn maze was cool. But TJ and his megaphone era was great. Like, it was a very cool setup. I just don't – again, I don't know if that fourth team was supposed to be there and things would have made more sense if they were there and if that's where things – kind of felt a little more disjointed.
Small nitpicky complaint, but like I love when they're confused and we're confused and then the lights go up and it's like the laser tag fantasy dreams, like of my dreams at least, and there's like this domain in the middle that they have to run to based on TJ's voice coming over the loudspeaker being like, welcome to the maze. That was awesome. Why not call this the zone, especially when it's leading to an elimination? Like, one, I thought it would justify Bananas' stress a little bit more because he ends up being right. But like, it would be a cool nod to me to like call it the name of the elimination arena and put the fear of God into people. And also, like, I don't know, it kind of would feel like the culmination of the season, like in the way the algorithm comes back, or like the ride or die should come back and doesn't, like to have like a situation like that could so appropriately be called the zone where an elimination is going to be held. Like, I wish that was like broadcasted out.
Yeah. No, just TJ's maze. Cause I don't think he really even said it was TJ's final much of the way. It was just TJ's maze. That's what it was all building to. The color scheme though, with like the lights out and like the lights on their helmet and the lights on their body. This was like, it gave vibes. This is also going to be a very niche reference, but there was an episode of Rocket Power where they discovered like Tony Hawk's secret like dungeon of like places where he would practice his shredding. And like, it was the vibes of that were so similar. I hope someone knows what I'm talking about, but that episode feels very similar to this, and like the colors and everything. It was like perfectly identical.
I'm going to have to hit a Google images on that. No, but that sounds cool. It was really, really cool.
I even love how much in the moment, I think Nani and Tori both said, like, this is freaking awesome. Like, this is so cool. Yeah.
It definitely was giving, like, insider track of, like, of all the ones you've done, like, wow, they really have done themselves. Like, good production value here. I also thought this was going to go to individual, and they were like, I'm going to call out your name and the order you arrived. I was like, oh shit, are they going to like call like Tori, then Devin? And it's like, no, it seems okay. Like, I, again, I was at the edge of my seat of like, how is this going to go? It ends up going pretty straightforwardly, but I was, there was intrigue.
There was. No, there was. It was good.
I did think it was interesting. Like, you know, Tija comes in like a little bit of Mario Kart, like, no, 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 wrong way. Like to Anissa and Jordan. And I was like, I wonder how much direction the teams were getting during this.
Yeah, even TJ, I think he high-fived Bananas at the start of this, right? Like, remember when they started running all the way back in the beginning? That was funny. yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much guidance there were. Definitely arrows if, you know, if they took a wrong turn, did, like, a little mushroom guy pop up and tell them, like, turn around, turn around. That would've been funny to say.
But what do you think of, like, this dynamic, this communication breakdown between Nani and Bananas in the maze?
It was pretty similar to what was going on, I feel like, with Jordan and Anissa in the water, where this is just Bananas motivational, or there's like his serious tone. And I feel like this is also spurred upon because of how different Bananas was here compared to most of the other final, where for the most part, he was like joking and Nani wanted to take it for him to take it more seriously. And then Bananas takes it more seriously. And now he doesn't like that either. So I feel like there was no over that, you know, whatever the three bears is, like that middle porridge guy that really worked with them. I think I just combined multiple different fairy tales with the porridge and the three bears.
I think, like, I talked in our Instagram Live about how I was worried a Bananas and Nani win would, like, somehow reflect poorly on Leroy. Like, Bananas can bring Nani to a win, but Leroy can't. And it's not to discredit Nani's agency, because we're going to talk a lot about that in the elimination. But I do think this attitude from Bananas is the push that Nani needs that Leroy would never do.
Yeah, I think Leroy would be he wouldn't want to offend or get Nani mad at him the way Bananas in the moment probably didn't care. I would have been like, see, I did this all for the greater good to get you to this point. And Leroy never really showed that like killer instinct to someone else. Maybe to himself he could do it, but to a partner, he never really went there.
And in that way, I was like quite surprised that Nani was so upset at Bananas, because like, again, like you said, like, this is what Nani's been getting pissed at Bananas for, is like not taking it seriously. And I didn't think he was like, I get it if she was in a lot of pain, but he was right. Like, they needed to go. They couldn't walk. Like, Bananas ends up being wrong because it doesn't matter. And they were never going to catch the Daves. But like, in theory, very realistically, like TJ said, your fate in the game depends on finding me in this maze. So like, very realistically, like the last team could have been clipped, and then Nani would have never forgiven herself.
Right. Of all moments up until this point, this was the most we need to go moment. For the most part, everything else was like, eh, we'll get there when we get there. It's not really that big a deal. This was the first like, okay, this really matters. We need to go.
So I've already said how I was feeling going into this final zone, because I texted you about it. What were you thinking when we see these four people go in?
Oh, I was very much rooting for Nani and Bananas as well. I didn't want to see, especially with it being unclear what the last day would look like. It was giving vibes that like Anissa would have to quit in the first hour and we would just have a default winner again after Challenge USA. So I definitely didn't want to have that. So I really was hoping Nani and Bananas would win. And I was getting very nervous with how it was playing out, that like this was going to be all on Nani for making like bonehead decision after bonehead decision in this elimination.
I cannot believe that Nani got a point off of Anissa, much less got to the cage every time. Now we'll discuss that. Couldn't get it in, but got into the ring every time and stopped Anissa when it mattered. I could not believe what Nani was able to accomplish. And I don't mean that to diminish her. I'll say it in the reverse. Like, Nani was able to accomplish something incredible.
Yeah. No, she was very impressive outside of the last second in each of her elimination rounds. And to give Anissa some credit, a lot of people, not a lot of people, but some people wouldn't have reacted to what Nani was doing as she did, where very weird to see production ask, you know, you see the question pop up, production asked her, like, do you take offense or are you upset that Nani is going after your ankle, knowing how, you know, you're in pain? And it was a very mature and respectful and kind of real answer for Anissa to say, like, no, look, this is for $1 million. She has to do what she has to do. And, you know, we're friends, but she's got to try to win. So you have to go after my ankles. So I really appreciate Anissa handling it like that.
So I agree. I mean, she does get one line off, but I forgive her the frustration of, like, losing the final. Like, it only hurts when you pull it like she was doing. Mm-hmm. But I understand, just like I understand Nani having to do what she has to do, like, Anissa's got to grieve the immediate loss of the final, like, right there. So respect. But what frustrated me about that, I mean, I thought production, more than, like, siding that Nani was doing something wrong, was trying to get Anissa to look bad, to say, like, yeah, it's a low blow that not, like, we saw, I'm surprised they left that in, because, like, we saw production trying to bait Anissa, and Anissa doesn't take the bait. Like, do you think it sucks that she was going after your ankles, even though you're hurt? And Anissa's like, you know, you could see her being like, well, now that you mention it, yeah, it's kind of a low blow that she was going after my ankles when it hurt. And then boom, that's the clip that goes in without production's prompting. So kudos to Anissa, one, for not taking the bait, and two, for not feeling that way. But the whole thing frustrates me because ankle schmankle, like, your injury schminjury, that's what you need to do when you're smaller than someone. Go for sweep the leg. Like, Donnie was not just trying to squeeze your ankle till it burst. She was trying to get under you because you're bigger, which is what she explained. Anissa explained. But I was like, I hate this narrative. Like, Nani did something even remotely below the belt.
No, absolutely not. It wasn't like they were doing, like, a puzzle and Nani just ran over and tackled her and was given, like, an ankle breaker that she can't, like, get up and do a puzzle. Like, this was a physical elimination. It was going to get physical. And she had to do what she had to do. So, yeah, it was weird that they were even trying to depict it at all. Maybe they, based off how they were kind of, they edited Anissa's exit, maybe they were trying to tee up the Anissa softball to make her look better. Be like, no, like, Nani should be doing this. She should be going at my ankles to make her look even better on top of the tearful montage exit that that they were giving her.
Yeah. One other thing that was, I mean, I never said, like, I wasn't tearful because I was, like, pissed and relieved that Nani and Bananas were moving on. But one thing that was a little funky is that there's one point where if Jordan scores, Jordan and Anissa will win and Banana holds him off. Banana, a single Banana holds him off. And TJ says, next unanswered point wins. But it really should have been, Jordan, you could win here if you score. And then when Nani starts the next round, TJ says this could be the winning round, but then Anissa gets the opportunity to answer it. So I almost was like, were we seeing things in the right order, or did it just, I don't know. Like, the announcing wasn't actually hitting what we were seeing on TV.
Oh, I thought whatever he said made sense in the moment. I thought he said the next unanswered point. I thought he said that after Jordan was beat, and I thought he said going to Jordan's, like, if you score, you win. Maybe I misremember, but I didn't find myself confused by TJ's ordering commentary.
I'm pretty sure he said this could be the winning round when Nani had the ball, but then Anissa calls for the ball. So that was, if he means the winning round of two, but.
The winning round, because it was like, if she scores and stops, it's over. But if they both score or they both stop, then it's not the winning round. It just keeps going.
Yeah, I get it. But I wanted him to be like, game point, which I'm pretty sure Jordan was at game point and he didn't announce it to him.
What did you make of that rule, by the way, that, like, once you get in the circle, it's done? I think they actually did this rule for the earlier version of Balls In, but they just didn't tell us. It was just, like, understood by the players. But I don't like it. This feels very weird that it was just like, all right, once you get in the circle, then what's the point of the bucket? It should just be ball in the circle.
I agree. That was my next question to you. I don't get it. Like, I was pissed about Nani that she couldn't get it. And I'm sympathetic to, like, your adrenaline and whatever, but, like, there's no point. Like, do they not want someone to slam their head on the bucket? Like, then, yeah, I agree. It should just be, make the circle smaller and just wrestle your way into the circle. It's not easy to get into that circle, but it did feel too easy.
Right, especially because they were starting from pretty close. Yeah, they weren't starting from, like, far away or anything. Like, they were starting, like, maybe, like, it seemed like 6 or 7 steps would get you in the circle. And so, like, it wouldn't take much to, like, so sometimes people were, like, properly tackling and somebody at the edge, but they just happened to fall barely into the circle. I think Banana did that once where Jordan got him down, but Banana just happened to fall just barely within the circle. Like, if that was like a normal round of balls in, I don't know if Bananas even scores in that one, or maybe it was Jordan, vice versa. But it was just very bizarre that they did that elimination this way. Maybe they were getting scared of another team having to go home because, yeah, like you said, like they would hit the bucket and get a concussion or something like that. But yeah, just make the circle very small on the ground, and like that's the elimination.
No, I agree. That I know the time you're talking about. It was Bananas. Like he was giving like fourth and inches. He just like steamrolls and jumps into the end zone, and it was like that's not how this game is supposed to look like.
Right. It was very bizarre. It's like, all right, you cross the red zone, you get a touchdown. It's like, what? What? What about the extra 20 yards you have to go? That's so weird.
And maybe there's like some saving grace in that if you lose possession, you know, you don't get credit. So if you're hitting the ground hard enough that you bobble the ball, then like, then it doesn't matter that you got in because you lose the ball. Right. Like, I think that.
But then it's like, too, is it bobble or do you have to fully lose control? what's a catch? Like, where are we diving?
We'll review the plays. That's what we're here to do.
Ooh, the ball slightly moved out of your arm. Therefore, it is, you know, out of bounds. What is this rule?
One thing that was fascinating is so when Anissa goes down on the last point and she's doubled over crying, she never loses control of the ball. almost like, why are they blowing the horn on her? Like, if Nani's down there helping her and she gets up and muscles her way through, the ball is not dead.
No, I thought
she
the
did
same
not
thing.
Let go of the ball.
Yeah, I was waiting for her to like, it was almost like in a Royal Rumble where like the person like slides under the bottom rope. So they're not really eliminated, but people act like they're eliminated and then they can come back in. I was waiting for like Anissa just to sit up and just go run into the bucket and be like, wait, what the hell? Nani, you blew it again. But I guess eventually she did toss the ball.
We say goodbye to Jordan and Anissa. Again, like I'm feeling a little more sympathetic now. I was like so hot and scared during the episode that like I couldn't properly appreciate like the montage and like I feel whatever about Jordan. So, I mean, nice moment between them. Like he takes the L. And Jordan always has good sportsmanship when he loses. Yeah. Like I think it's when he's losing that there's problems. When he loses, he can take it well, so that was
especially
nice
when he's a cause of the loss too. It wasn't like this was all Anissa. Like you said, like Jordan had a point to win. Like they could have won, and Jordan blew it. So the fact that he contributed to the loss also kind of forces him to at least be humble in it.
I did realize through the next few moments with Bananas and Nani why I kind of came around to rooting for them, and not just because of the pasta, but. What is so interesting about the Bananas and Nani relationship is that Bananas has effusive praise for Nani. We hear him talking the whole season about their relationship. We hear him talk about his focus. We hear him say this episode, well, Nani and I have is thicker than blood. Blood's thicker than water. We're thicker than blood. And even after they lose, he's crying and Nani hilariously is consoling him like, girl, I've lost 12 seasons. Like, it's fine. Banana, we don't normally see that from Bananas. We don't normally see vulnerable Bananas or Bananas giving more to a relationship than almost he's visibly getting, because he is not Nani's number one. Casey's Nani's number one. Nani's mom is more part of his story than her story with Bananas. Bananas is a side character in Nani's season. Nani is Bananas' season. And normally we see Bananas in these relationships with women either keeping it quiet, focusing on him, I'm the star, you can't come on the challenge anymore, hook up in the bathroom, I don't want to be seen on camera. And like, I know this is just a friendship with him and Nani, but it is very interesting to see Nani in a power position in her relationship with Bananas when we really have never or not recently seen a woman in a power position in a relationship with Bananas.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point, because even with like the thing with Mariah with him with Bananas this season, like he's joking around like kissing the tire and like in the final, like that's how jokingly he was taking that relationship. So yeah, it was a very interesting, and I felt very believable. Like I don't know if there's like takes out there that he was like playing it up, but I felt it was very raw. I thought it was very believable, his level of upset and how much he wanted it for her. So I was fully in on it, and it was a good side to see for him.
So 8 hours remain and we begin the final where did you like that they brought out the losing teams to root on the other teams?
No, I again, silly me. I'm like, when he starts talking about like like people that you care about. I thought Casey was about to show up. I thought like they were getting people from their hometown. I was like, what, is TJ's wife going to show up again also? Like, I didn't know what was happening. I don't know what we're doing bringing out the third and fourth place finishers just to like cheer them on, I guess, to do confessionals in the elimination. I don't, in the final, I don't, but that's what it felt like, an elimination. I don't know what they were doing.
I agree. I thought it was very strange. I mean, it was almost nice to see Olivia and Horacio of like, all right, Olivia's okay. I mean, she looks ridiculous, but she's, and I don't mean that as like, she looks ridiculous. Like that injury is absolutely brutal.
Right.
But like, good to see her in good spirits. I was about to get really upset if they were going to, you know, we've had a debate, I think, ongoing all season with the audience, with us, about how much audience interaction is appropriate in an elimination. If Tori and Dave, why are you doing that? The Daves were going to win because Anissa and Jordan were going to help them. I was going to be irate.
Yeah.
Luckily that didn't happen, but like, I didn't really need the like, woo of the, no. of the eliminated contestants during the elimination.
Totally agree. Totally agree. It was even just bizarre that like TJ gave them a reintroduction. He was like, you remember Jordan and Anissa? It's like, yeah, dude, we sent them home last night. We of course know who they are. What are you talking? It was just, the whole thing was just very bizarre. Yeah, I didn't even think about them getting involved in helping them with the final. That would have been an atrocity if it happened. So I'm glad that didn't play out. But it was very bizarre to see them just like there. I think that's why like it was an entertaining final, but like it didn't give final vibes. And I think part of it was because there were just people there rooting them on, and like that's not a final. That's episode 7 elimination, you know, go back to the house and rejoin the group moment, not here's your check for $1 million.
I might regret this in 5 seasons or 1 season, or I might regret this tomorrow, but there's something about this that almost worked so well for me that I think it should be the new format with a few tweaks, in that some sort of endurance component, a traditional final as we would think of it, brings you to safety in the last elimination. But then the last leg of the final is a really anyone can win it moment. Like closer to who wants it most, some puzzle, some brute strength. But like we normally think the skill set between the final and eliminations is so far apart. Then this final really kind of brought it closer together, where I thought if Jordan and Anissa survived that final, they very well, I think they would have been the favorite to actually win this last portion.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think what a good format would be, again, if you just shrink down the first 70 hours and you make that a 1-day event, and like, yeah, the winner, or even if there's 4 teams, the top 2 were safe. The bottom 2 go into elimination, have to fight to survive, and then you go into some maybe an extended version of this. I think it could be cool to have multiple stages leading up to this, but that's like the format where it does level the playing field. It makes it like a 2-day event, but it offers different skill sets in the end. Yeah, I think you could do that without needing the gimmick of 100 hours, which like really was not. I mean, what percentage of like the 100 hours were they doing stuff like? 15%, 20% maybe. Like it was just so ridiculous to even say 100 hours when a lot of it was just them sleeping in tents. So get rid of that and use this, and then like really like cut out the fat, and you have like a decent, good setup for a final.
Because you think about like one of the biggest runaways in the challenge final was Amber and CT, and like if they then got confronted with something like this, like obviously CT would rip a lot of this, but like Amber better in endurance, less strong in arm strength, you know, like, and I just think this was so well equalized. I really thought this was bananas and Nani's to lose. Here's my one question.
Well, it was, and they lost it, you know, I think it was theirs to lose, and then they completely lost it.
Well, but more so than like they suck at puzzles and a big puzzle happened. Is this a just pure failure on bananas and Nani's part to not be careful and not be methodical and just be sort of brute strength and sloppy and make two mistakes, not one, but two mistakes in an unfixable puzzle? Or was this a failing on the design of the challenge that you could not basically recover if you made a mistake in this puzzle?
No, for that part, I think if you're doing this type of thing in a final, like, you should make it where if you screw up like this, like, they screw up badly. Like, they didn't just make one mistake. They made two, like, horrific mistakes doing this puzzle. Like, you should lose. Like, you really shouldn't have a chance. Like, the way Devin was talking beforehand, he was like, look, this is 200 cinder blocks. We have to make sure we're setting up this puzzle right. So they had the right mindset going in. And I don't know if, like, this was, maybe this is a stretch, but, like, based off how Bananas was acting through this final, like, where he was more laissez-faire, joking, like, I don't know if you could all of a sudden, when you want to, in that moment, kind of switch and get into, like, his game mode operation, where he's usually so much smarter than this. I know he's not, like, a puzzle guy, but he's usually smart of, like, gaming the system and not making a stupid mistake at this level, that if he's more focused the whole time, does he do this stupid mistake? Maybe he doesn't do the puzzle right, but maybe he's not blowing the puzzle to, like, unsolvable condition.
Yeah, I think I'm curious to hear some of the, like, follow-up. You know, we're recording this live after the episode, so I feel like more information is going to come out. But from my read of the episode, it seemed like at least the first mistake was being made out to look like Nani's fault, that they had divided it like Nani was going to sort of design, like, Nani was in the Devin role and Bananas was in the Tori role of the muscle, and Nani was going to, like, figure out the puzzle. And multiple times Bananas says, are you sure it's at the top and not the bottom where the space is? And Nani says, yes. And that seemed to fall on Nani. Then when they had the second mistake, I was floored, because then I was sort of like, well, what's going on there? So it's interesting that you were like, oh, it's mostly, not mostly Bananas' fault, but maybe that, like, trickles in, which I think is fair. I'm just curious to hear sort of Nani and Bananas explain how this fell apart.
Yeah, no, I would love to hear it. And know if, like, let's say they just had the one mistake, like, how far along were Devin and Tori in part three? Like, was it done because they made that first mistake anyway and they weren't going to catch up? Or were they not too far behind that they could have tried to make up ground with, like, the sand portion? And to be honest, I don't even know what station four was, because it was like I was already, like, Chain, crafting in my head, like, the Devin and Tori TikToks is, like, they already won. So like, I don't know if they could have caught up there, but I don't know how much the first mistake devastated them as much as the second one did.
Yeah, I'm with you on the sort of, like, you get what you get. Like, you could have easily prevented this. This wasn't even a puzzle that appeared difficult to solve. Like,
no.
When Bananas and Nani were stuck at that puzzle last week and they, like, you know, helped Denise and Jordan and vice versa. Like, this was like, you just have to plan and put the pieces in the right place. You know, obviously I wasn't there, but it's more about the cinder block of it all and the pre-planning of the amount of rows than it was like, I can't see the answer to this puzzle.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it was an equalizer, because you can't really get stuck by not being able to figure it out. You can get stuck based on your own mistakes. So maybe it is fair. I just felt a little neutered of like, oh, now, like, I'd like to at least see both teams fighting until the end and to basically have Bananas and Nani have to quit. But I'm nitpicking again, because it's like, how do you get a puzzle that's difficult enough where you should lose because the consequence is that you lose, but it's not so difficult that they have to quit? Sudoku-esque.
Yeah, I don't think they, again, not to like say MTV doesn't anticipate this stuff, but I don't think they really anticipated like them like so badly screwing up this puzzle that they were just like, well, we're not going to do this again, so we quit. Maybe they need to reinstitute the you have to finish a final to get paid, even though they weren't supposed to get paid, but then they end up getting paid. Like, if they know they weren't, if there was like, you know, $100,000 on the line for second place, maybe they do break down the puzzle and at least finish it so they can get paid. But the fact they were like, you know, why are we doing this? Devin and Tori won. There's nothing to even try here.
Yeah, no, that's something I didn't even think about, but definitely would have been present potentially in another season where there was a free agent's money payout. Let's talk about the winners, though. You were rooting for them. I think the majority of the audience was rooting for them. I was happy to see them win. Devin and Tori, challenge champions.
Yeah, the first, are you the one people to get paid for winning a final? Shout out to Hunter. So kudos to them. Tori, this was something I feel like we all saw coming from her debut season. She almost won that. It seemed like every season she's been in since, it was like, okay, when is Tori going to win? So this was a great, you know, it felt the inevitable was going to happen for Tori to eventually get her win. Great to see it. For Devin, I don't think anyone could have ever anticipated that he would ever win a final outside of, you know, a group team effort where he could be like, you know, the strategist in the midst of it. But to be like a key linchpin in a final, in a paired final against a pretty good stack field, I never saw this coming for Devin when he came onto the scene of, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago at this point. So incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure both of us are recorded somewhere in the last 8 years, or at least when Devin entered the scene, saying Devin can't win, or at least discussing it. And I feel like we've also often said, you know, the challenge is a lot of these people's career. Like, I think for Devin, the challenge and his affiliation on the challenge via like OnlyFans and whatever is his entire career. So like, why not make this your career, change your body? And I don't mean like change your body how it looks, but like develop your athletic skills. Mm-hmm. And he already had the sort of mental skills and strategy. He adjusted his social game hugely when he like sort of made amends with Josh, ingratiated himself into the Big Brother Alliance, which was in recent memory, and changed his whole trajectory in the challenge. It's really amazing. I feel like not since Cara Maria have we seen someone go from like joke to contender in such a short time. Like even Nani, it's like over 12 seasons. Like this was pretty impressive.
It was. And to see Devin's, as you said, like his transformation, like he put his body next to Horacio, who's like a Greek god. Sure, he doesn't look like that, but Devin got himself in incredible shape. To, you know, he looked himself in the mirror and said, look, endurance is not my thing. I need to work at it and get better if I'm ever going to win this thing. And that's why, like, not to go back to Anissa, but it's hard to have that much sympathy for her where she's been in this zone, in this world now for 2 decades. In the last half of it, last third of it, part of why she has yet to win is because she hasn't put the effort in to get her body and her endurance and her everything ready to go for a season. And you look at someone like Devin, who did put all that in. Like Devin in 2018 is not winning this final. He's just not. But Devin put the effort in, and people throw that word earned around, but he earned it. He put the work in and he deserves to win. Anissa just hasn't done it in the last 6 or 7 years. And like that's why when she's like, I am the trailblazer, I deserve a win in this final, it's like, I get for your past history, what you've done for the show, sure, but for your off-season work, for what you put in going into a season, like you don't deserve it just because you've been around a while.
And look, I think Anissa, I think what you're saying is totally fair. I think a big distinction between them in terms of their off-season is, like you said, like Devin's like on OnlyFans and like doing this. Maybe he's doing other stuff. You're welcome to at me. Anissa's like going to school. Like this isn't Anissa's entire life. And it's a lot harder to put in that level of work when your like livelihood comes from, like you have to spend more time actually on like what pays your bills.
Right. And that's totally fair. That's totally fair. But then I just don't want to see Anissa crying, being like, I deserve this. I earned this. I've been around 20 years. It's like, well, then make it your full-time job. Make it what you really want it to be, if that's what you really want it.
And I agree that the entitlement that Anissa sort of had, and particularly people who talk about listening to the podcast, I think have had that complaint, her podcast. But even Nani and even Leroy, like, how many seasons do we see people come back and do the exact same thing and the exact same strategy? I mean, Leroy in his last season was like peak Leroy, but we watched Leroy for season after season come in, try the same thing, and go home. And like, and Nani, you know, shows up the exact same way. Like her relationship with Casey is probably the best strategic thing that she's done for her game in the last X seasons. And I don't believe that it was for strategy, but like it happened to revitalize her position in the game. And so I think like a lot of these older vets who have been around the block come in season after season after season, and they've paid their dues certainly to the audience, and they've given a ton to the show, but no one has really come in and sort of taken the feedback from the season and changed their game, you know, socially, physically, mentally, to become a champion. Mm-hmm. You know, we see, like, again, not to just Doganisa, like a lot of these veterans have come in and been stagnant and they continue to lose. And Devin is willing to sort of adapt to the game. And that's, I mean, a huge credit. And Tori, not to be left out, like, I think Devin gives a lot of appropriate credit to Tori. Like, Tori was the only woman of the three women and four until, you know, while Olivia was there, setting the pace for her team. Mm-hmm. Tori carried the bulk of the physical load against Bananas in that final. And they had great communication. Tori, I think, I felt so emotional watching Tori's package. Where she, like, Jordan goes up and hugs her and is like, my joy in this game is that I got to see Tori win, and like, who knows where we'll be in the future. We love each other. And Tori's there like, I healed myself and my win came to me, and I did it with my best friend. And the Jordan stuff is the low point in her season. And I was like, what an incredible evolution for Tori that mm-hmm. we talked about this all the time. Is Jordan holding Tori back? Could Tori be doing better without her boyfriend and fiance Jordan there, who everyone can't stand? And then she does incredible self-work. She explores that on the show, which I think is huge for the audience. And she's rewarded. And that is like an incredible, incredible moment as a yeah. fan of the show and a fan of Tori's.
Yeah, look, Tori made a final before dating Jordan and then won a final after the relationship with Jordan ended. And within the relationship, things were not that great for Tori. So, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, Jordan was holding Tori back is like the deduction I think you could try to gauge. And it's an incredible story for Tori. Like, the movie of Tori's challenge, you know, story here. You know, we were talking about on the Instagram Live, like, who was like the new crop of female women challenge Mount Rushmore people. And we, like, for Tori, she is the face of this new era of the challenge, whether people like Tori or hate Tori or whatever. But like, this new crop of like post-30-30 or post-War of the Worlds, like, she is the woman face of the show for sure.
All Cam comes back in All Stars, baby.
Right.
No, I mean, it's an incredibly well-deserved win. I am certainly not coming on here like trying to feign enthusiasm for the result. I think it was a hell of a last episode, and I think it was a hell of a result.
Yeah, and look, it was great, because when you looked at this cast before the season, you were like, oh, some of these pairs are like wishy-washy. The one, you were like, well, this is a true ride or die, is Tori and Devin. And also, they were, you know, the other two teams that made this final, for what it's worth, joined late, whether it's a week or 1 week late, 2 weeks late, whatever. Tori and Devin were there week one, the true ride or die pair. And they made it all the way to the end. So it was great to see them win.
So then Devin makes a speech. Clearly, he and Tori had discussed this. And they're going to give, in the footsteps of, is it CT and Ember? Or CT Casey. And Casey?
Yeah.
Which CT?
Which CT?
So they won. Gave yeah. $50,000 when they were told they could / had to, whatever. They would have been jerks if they gave zero of their final prize money. Devin and Tori decide to give everyone, including Horacio and Olivia, so second, third, and fourth place each, $38,000. Now, is that 38, 38, and 38, or each individual is getting 38, like by team or by person?
I read it as each individual is getting 38. That's how, so 72 or 76 times three. So whatever that math is what they're getting.
Yeah, it's $152,000 versus if it was just by three, my brain is broken and my computer, $114,000. Now, I read it as you read it, that I'm giving each person $38,000, but that's, you know, $52,000 more than Casey and CT, because they gave each pair $50,000, right?
They gave away 200 that like they won a million.
Oh, they gave each away person 250. Okay.
Yeah, they gave each pair 100,000, 50 per person.
Got it. Okay, so then it's definitely by individual. What do you think of this? And of course, Devin has to be like, and we hope it's a tradition. What do you think of this?
Yeah, so I first I was like, oh, this is sweet. This is nice, giving people money. And then I think I saw the Matt LaGoria, Brian Scali had a tweet, and I was like, oh, that's a great point. Where I think it was Scali, he said, this opens up the point of there really is no incentive for like these big friend group alliances that turn on each other because they can just give away the money at the end. And I feel like that's always the dangerous thing when you look at any of reality shows, Survivor, Big Brother, The Challenge, where if you could just cut up your prize pool and give it out how you want, it really decentivizes people to turn on each other and play for yourself because I'll just go to the end with my best friends and we'll, you know, all split $1 million. Like that's so dangerous. It's like very much written into the rules of Survivor. I feel like it was should have been written into the rules here. So I think it's a sweet gesture. I think it was nice when CT and Casey did it because it was like the bizarro stealing the money. It was like cool. It was kind of nice here, but I don't want this to be a thing. Just like pay second and third place. Stop with the $1 million. You could have a $1 million prize pool, but cut it up for first, second, and third. That's all you need to do.
So I agree and I disagree. I agree that I don't want this to become a thing. Like I just, it shouldn't be, it's like when everyone's like, it shouldn't be on people to donate money to, for like healthcare. Like, you know, mm-hmm. just like decide what the prizes are and compete for the prizes. Do I think that this creates more of a risk of people splitting money than it did before where you could just give people money after the show? Like, when you know who's going to be on the show and you can like Survivor, it's a rule that you can't like agree to split money during the show. When you're on the challenge, you could just decide before you show up to do this and you don't have to officially announce it at the final. And plus, I think the pressure of this, of Devin being like, everybody has to do this moving forward, sort of doesn't matter who you end up with. You're going to get a piece of the prize regardless. So, and you still want to win. So like if your best friend is bananas and you think he's going to beat you, why would you, would you rather a shot at a better shot at $1 million or a guarantee of 38,000? Like, I don't know that this really risks collusion any more than it already would have happened off air.
Yeah. No, that's totally fair. That's totally
but fair. I still don't like it. And it shouldn't be like on it. The winners to pay out the losers. I just, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah. Then I'm like, from tax purposes, do they have to pay like tax on the full winnings, like, and then losses. I don't know how that works. I don't want anyone going to jail for that. No Richard Hatch situations here, but
it's like, see, yeah. Give 14,000, give like the gift, the maximum you can gift of tax free.
Right. Well, if Tori and Devin got married, I think they can each give away 38,000. So maybe they can kind of finagle it like that. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. It was a cool gesture. I don't know what they would have done because I don't know why the third and fourth were there. So were they, I guess they would have just given bananas and not any more money. So bananas and Nani should just be super pissed. They probably, but the, by them bringing back third and fourth place, they probably would have each gotten at least another 12,000. They would have each gotten 50, maybe even more. So they should be the most pissed. They'd be like, what the hell? Why are all these other people here? I would have gotten more money.
Can't argue with you there. And it's also a little weird that like, it's like giving a Christmas bonus to your boss. Like, Bananas has to be getting paid the most just to show up. So like Devin and Tori really shouldn't have to give Bananas $38,000.
Yeah, that gets, you know, in the GOAT debate, Bananas like creeps a little closer now because I think CT was the money leader. So toss another 38K in Bananas' bucket and he's creeping back close to CT.
Interesting. Now, does that count as money?
Well, let's see. So actually, the reason why I thought that, because I saw Challenge Stats tweet out the all-time money leader, the leader ranking board. I don't know what Bananas was at before this. I don't think he's including that, actually. So, no. All right, I don't know. But it should be included, because he's gifting money, won money?
No, because then I feel like you should count appearance fee. Like, is getting paid to come won money? Like, he did not win that money. Whereas I think you could argue when it's part of the game. So whatever team CT and Casey gave money to won that money versus Bananas, which is gifted money for Devin.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. Very close. So I don't know. But Ashley, so I was, he actually has the list here. Ashley is the all time woman leader. 1.1 million. Three millionaires, CT, Bananas, and Ashley.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So we have the reunion next week. We're speculating that it'll be two parts. We will record whenever the last part is. So if next week it happens to actually just be one standalone reunion, we'll be here next week. If it's two parts, we'll be here in 2 weeks. And if it's three parts, we'll be here in 3 weeks. We think it'll be two.
Well, if it's three parts, then we're going to be here twice, because that's when Challenge Global Champion starts. So hopefully it's not three parts. So we're like, we're going to have no break. That's pretty cool. That's fun.
There's no break. Like, we haven't had a break in a really long time.
No. Well, yeah, we were talking before this. This started middle of October. So here we go. Pitchers and catchers, baseball season. Then we are wrapped up with 38. Challenge Global Championships. All-Stars is, like, I think, filming right now. So I'm sure that's going to start not too far after this one. So we'll be with you guys to the end of the year.
And when did All-Stars end, the last All-Stars?
This summer? I think there was a little bit of a break between All-Stars and 38.
We used to, like, not talk for, like, 4 months.
I know. Now it's every week. What a time. What a time.
One thing I do want to say is, like, that we're bringing out Turbo is a fake out, right? They're going to be like, nah, we're just kidding.
I really hope so. I don't, I mean, that'd be crazy, but who knows? I think it's a fake out.
And then I think, so we recorded right after the episode. Get your questions in. We'll go to the questions during the reunion podcast. Mm-hmm. It'll be like a reunion for us. And I think we'll do I want to reserve my order. I want to see come back until I see what happens at the reunion.
Yeah, I wonder who's going to get the Gus Memorial makes us fakes a fight at the reunion award.
Maybe Gus will charge the stage. Maybe
I feel like the favorite for that, I feel like, I don't think he's going to be there, would be, who was that? Gretchen? Or was that the guy? They both had, like, I think it was Gretchen. Was he the guy?
Who's and then Gretchen? Who's Muffin? Do you mean Kim and
Colleen? Oh, Kim and Colleen, yeah.
Because I called remember. Them Hansel and Gretel the whole season.
Yeah, I think that's why I was like, yeah, I think it would be Kim. Kim would be the favorite for the Gus Memorial Award.
Okay, I think that Sam Bird is Ooh. More, if he's even there, would be from the guys, would be my vote, or Tommy. Like, Tommy or Sam would be trying to, like, climb the relevancy ladder.
I'll say the person who needs to. I know you're really high on it, but I think Jack needs to kind of do something to get back in the mix. I don't know. Remember seeing him in the clip, but I don't know if he's there. But if he's there, he needs to he needs to get in the mix to, like, regain relevancy, I think.
So that's fair, but it's almost like that's interesting. I think that's a really good pick. It's almost like the Gus angle, though, is that, like, Gus was picking fights that he wasn't involved in on the show.
Right.
Like, Jack at least has beef with Jay that if he presses on, it's sort of relevant to the show. But yeah. Fair enough. I think that's a good contender. It looks like Raven's going to be, like, from the preview at least, the person on the women's side who's going to be trying to, like, really scrap when, like, is she really still upset about Johnny and Norris all mm-hmm. this time later?
I didn't realize Raven was, like, or maybe I still is, but, like, a big challenge fan. Like, there were, like, old tweets of her being, like, especially when the season started, she was like, I can't believe I'm joining, like, the Challenge lore. I've been watching it for years. And, like, I saw, like, older tweets of, like, her, like, tweeting in, like, 3, 4, 5 years ago of, like, the Challenge past. Like, she was, like, a true fan. She was, like, a super fan.
So maybe Raven and Jack, both pretty high on my Wanna Come Back list, are going to be pressing the buttons of old Challenge feuds that they mm-hmm. had. Maybe on the women's side, I could actually see Colleen, the Gretel of the Hansel and Gretel, like, trying to, like, make more issue than there is to kind of, like, stick around. But yeah, it will. I do like Gus Watch.
Yeah, Gus Watch 2023. Here we go. All right. Anything else? Oh, we got Drinking Game.
I was going to say the live is saved at RHAP Grams right now. I don't know if they're going to delete it. I did add it. Unauthorized to mm-hmm. the grid on RJP Grams.
Any guesses how many drinks for this one?
Did he count the rules we made during the live?
Oh yes, he did.
than 1,000, because I think my rule was anytime Brian or I would be frustrated, and your rule, just for listeners, was anytime someone says something nice about their ride or die. So 6,000 drinks?
Close, 40.
Okay.
There were 6 TJ compliments, 1 flashback to a prior episode.
Wait, I'm dying, because I had in my notes, like, if only you had said anytime TJ compliments the ride or dies, but that was
pretty wrong. Oh, they're already, yep, already in there. One flashback with, oh, sorry, it's flashback within the episode, Nani going after Anissa's feet in the elimination. This is funny. Two eliminated ride or dies, because they both come back. That's funny. 6 timestamps for the hours. 4 times the ride or dies complimented their partner, he noted. There were 13 dual confessionals. Again, Kyle, I don't know how you're doing this live. This is so impressive that you got, like, you're counting all these dual confessionals. Crazy work. 2 nicknames for the Daves. 1 time. Oh, so we kind of already had this rule, but 1 gives partner credit, which is kind of nice, to being nice to the partner. But Jordan being nice to Anissa. And he also noted, also, is this the same rule as the one you added during Instagram Live? Yes, Kyle, I guess it kind of is, but I appreciate you counting them separately. 1 pair is eliminated. 2 commercials for Are You the One or X on the Beach. And then he noted 2 times that we would complain. You want to guess what the 2 moments were?
One of them has to be with the advantages.
No.
Okay, so what is it? Kyle knows this better than I know us.
It was just giving the money away to people.
Fair.
And the 100 hours coming down to just like an elimination.
I mean,
also fair.
Very.
We like the aesthetics. We like the aesthetics that we were in. It was an intense elimination. It was a 4-stage elimination, Kyle. 4-stage. 100 hours for 4 stages. That was over by stage 2.
All right. Well, what a season. Great season, that's what you would say. What a season.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're definitely very much in the minority of saying that, but I really did like this season way more than most, so I had a great time.
I don't do rankings, but I would guess it's in the top half of seasons we've podcasted about.
It's definitely better than, like, the bunker season of whatever the heck that was. The pure, maybe this was the same one, but the one where they had to get the skulls, that was a piss poor season. That might have been the same
lines.
One. Yeah, yeah. I mean, now we're going. I mean, I was going to say way back, but yeah, we did podcast about that one, Bloodlines. Yeah. That was better than the trilogy of Bloodlines and Rivals 3, and there was another one, right? Invasion of the Champions. That was dark times in challenge history. That was better than those.
I think Invasion was when they start in the, like, hovel. Why are we?
That was when they start on the beach. They start, like, on a beach, and then we think it's like Kayla's time, and then that was still, yeah. That was in a great season. Not great.
So look at this. Could always be worse. And we got Gus Watch out of it, which I think is high power.
Yes, it's the Bizarro Mitch Watch, or the shortened Mitch Watch. So, all right, we'll wrap things up. You can subscribe. RobHasAWebsite.com/challenge feed. You can follow me on Twitter and TikTok at @CohenBryan_. Both my TikToks are up that I teased on the Instagram live. They're both there.
And just to plug that you'll be, I hope, loyally TikToking through Vanderpump Rules in the very limited off season.
I can't guarantee. I think the moment needs to come to me. I will be loyally doing challenge more stuff. But when the Vanderpump Rules moments come to me, like the theme song basically copying Game of Thrones, I will do that, but I will definitely keep up the challenge content there.
Both TikToks recently posted over 1,000 views each.
I got the rush of the 190,000 one. I'm trying to, like, catch that fever again. So,
I had a question though, but I never. Oh, can you do a It's Not About the Pasta crossover
with them just eating the spaghetti?
Maybe it's like It's Not About the Pasta, and then it's Devin and Tori. You know, I'm not a TikToker. Mm. I feel like
marinate.
There's some synergy there.
There is. It might be past my editing pay grade if it's not already a default template. So
All right, well, keep an eye out for your continued TikToks at carbride_. You can follow me at Lash Tweets, but who cares?
And GOG this week or no? Are those the
good one? Yeah, good one last it's been week. A busy week. A busy week.
Okay. We'll be back probably in 2 weeks for the wrap up of the 2-part reunion. Until then, happy Valentine's Day, actually, and have a good one.